Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
Everybody, welcome to Onceable, episode 88, Hypeable's Once Upon a Time podcast, where we'll be discussing Once Upon a Time, season 5, episode 18, Ruby Slippers. I'm Brittany, and tonight I'm joined by Laura and Karen. How are you guys doing?
Good!
Hi. Stressed, but what's stressed. New?
Yeah, what is new, right? It's only Monday, though, guys. I got a long week ahead.
Thanks for reminding me.
I'm very sorry. Yeah, so we're going to take a break from our stressful times to talk about last night's episode, Ruby Slippers. Let's just get a general reaction first. Laura, what do you think? Thumbs up, thumbs down?
I'm going to put it in the middle-ish mostly because of the Red storyline. So I'm gonna say it's sort of thumbs sideways.
And Karen, what about you? Any better?
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with that. It was a pretty good episode, except for a few parts that I really, really didn't like. But it was nice just having Red back, and I actually really liked Dorothy, so that was cool to have her in there too. And Mulan, of course. I think they could have done some things better, but overall, not as bad as it has been lately.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm going to have to agree. Definitely a thumbs sideways. There are more moments that I enjoyed than I hated, which is really all it takes at this point to give a favorable rating. But yeah, I definitely agree with you too. Thumbs sideways wasn't my favorite, but it definitely was not as bad as it's been. Let's jump into our favorite quotes for this week. Karen,
Mine was from Regina when she was talking to Zelina, and she just says, "Just because you've made one bad move, or 30, doesn't mean you can't make a good one now." And first of all, hilarious, because it was absolutely true. But I really like how Regina has been trying so hard to give Zelina a second chance or a 31st chance. And she's really sticking to it. I mean, she's being hesitant. She doesn't always trust her right away, but she wants to believe that she can be better. And it was just, you know, once again, Regina, even when she doesn't have a whole lot of material to work with, she's a standout character and one of the saving graces of this season.
So, Laura, what was your favorite line?
My favorite quote was from David. Well, actually, not David. It's about David. It was from Cruella. And she said, "Looks like Chiseled Chin Jr. will have to go to bed without what I imagine are terribly dull bedtime stories." And it was all about the payphone being ripped out of the underworld, which I thought was the stupidest thing ever. And I just felt like it was kind of just a hilarious quip at what I thought was just like the stupidest thing ever. I was like, people are getting phone calls from the underworld? Really? So I that was my favorite quote because it just was just so absurd on so many levels.
So my favorite quote was actually an exchange between Hook and David because it felt like for the first time in a while we had this like real human communication between people that was hilarious and in character for these two. And so they're talking about Hook finally thanks David for coming down to save him. And Hook's like, "I didn't know you cared." And David says, "All right, I did it for Emma. And I guess you've grown on me a bit." And I just loved Hook kind of like leaning into him afterwards being like, "What'd you say? That's so nice." And they're just like broing out. And it felt like this was the first time anyone's been in character except for like the over the top villainy people. And I just appreciated the scene so much.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I felt like, oh my gosh, like normal material and people relating to each other on more than just like a superficial level. Yeah, absolutely. And on what could be considered a complex, normal relationship. Like, it wasn't just stereotypes. I totally agree with you.
Not to mention, Hook has been a cardboard of a character in the last 3 or 4 episodes. And now, like, finally get, you know, the eyebrow quirk, and he's being funny and sarcastic and a little rude like he usually is. And it's just, it's nice to have him back too. He's such a highlight of the show, and the last couple of weeks have been terrible for him. He hasn't done anything, and it felt like a completely different person.
Yeah, I'm very glad to see a little bit of these characters coming back to life, at least in smaller moments. No one's really making any progress, because once again, we saw right before this moment happened, Hook is like reading the storybook. I'm like, we've been down this road before. You haven't found anything in the storybook. It's time to leave the apartment and make some moves. But this week, though, Ruby Slippers, clever little ship name right in the title.
I was going to say that. It just dawned on me when you introed the episode. I was like, I bet that's going to be their ship name. They probably knew that when they set that up.
Yeah, and it works beautifully. But back in September, when Once Upon a Time Season 5 was gearing up to premiere, and there were all the Comic-Con interviews and all this stuff coming out, Eddie and Adam mentioned that they wanted to introduce an LGBT relationship into the story and explore it, and that was going to happen in season 5. It finally happened in season 5, episode 18, and it wasn't so much explored as introduced and finished in 40 minutes. But we have the storyline that ended up being between Red and Dorothy. So I kind of wanted to gauge your guys' thoughts on how it played out, if you thought that it would involve Red and Dorothy, or if you were expecting Mulan to play a larger role in it. Just what were your overall reactions from the introduction of this relationship?
I liked it, I guess, in that I just wish it could, I mean, it is Once Upon a Time, things develop quickly. I would have liked it to have developed, I don't know, I would have liked to have seen it play out over the course of more than one episode. I think that's my thing. But as far as the relationship itself goes, I liked it. I thought the two characters connected well. I just, you know, for a true love's kiss thing to happen, they didn't know each other very long. So I just felt like it would have been, I don't have a problem with that being the storyline. I just wish it had been more of a developed over time relationship and not something that was so quick.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that when you get into these kinds of stories, that's just sort of the way that they are. And Once Upon a Time has done a pretty good job of building up a lot of the main relationships so it doesn't feel as instantaneous, but I guess when you're used to dealing with Disney stories and stuff, like, that just doesn't really faze me anymore. But aside from that, on the one hand, I really liked this. I love seeing the representation. I thought that Red and Dorothy had incredible chemistry. Like, before I even knew where it was going, I was like, I'm feeling myself shipping them even before they really knew each other. And I was like, all right, I'm kind of into this. And then it went there. And I was like, you know what? Good for them. I'm really happy that they did this. Like you were saying, though, I wish they had done it over a couple of episodes, because it's a really interesting relationship. And we don't know, we see Red's side of it, but we don't necessarily see Dorothy's. And I would have liked to have seen them, I don't know, build it up more, but also just see like where they're coming from, more of their histories and how they're feeling, and to have them finally come together would be a lot more fulfilling than if it had just happened over the course of one episode. On the other hand, I'm kind of mad that they didn't give this story to Mulan, who has already been set up as a character who likes girls. Maybe she likes guys too. We don't really know where she stands exactly, but she is an LGBT character. And she was just in the background the whole time. She hardly did anything. Why would they set Red up as that sort of character? Why would they build up a whole new character when they already had one sitting right there for them? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And I'm okay with the relationship between Red and Mulan being platonic, but like at the same, you know, if that's the choice you want to make, that's fine. It's not like you have to just instantaneously pair the two of them up. But I just felt like there were more possibilities of building this relationship. Yeah. And have Mulan's not, you know, let's continue to have Mulan wander around for true love in the story that's about true love. Yeah, it was a little odd. And I'm fine with sort of Ruby coming to the idea of, you know, discovering slowly what she wanted. But I felt like this was sort of like a snap decision. Like, I didn't get any glimmers of like, oh, back when we, you know, decided to do Ruby's character, that I felt like they had written her as very heterosexual. I mean, if, you know, we go back, it just seemed like they went, oh, poof, this is who we're going to make Ruby now. And I don't have a problem with somebody kind of discovering themselves, but it was just a lot of odd choices.
Yeah, I think we lost Ruby for a while, obviously due to other acting commitments before she was even able to come back to Once Upon a Time. But to have Ruby and Mulan kind of pair off in the first half of the season and when they had the Brave storyline, I thought that they were setting, this is just my initial reaction, I thought they were setting them up as the couple. And
right.
I thought it paid off well that they did just remain friends. Mulan's storyline was a little disappointing because she, like, at the end, yeah, she's being a good friend and she's talking to Ruby about discovering how she feels and all this stuff, but she's also sort of like sitting there taking it as like a yep, been there, not getting anywhere type of friend. So it's like her character was even written to be like reduced to like, yeah, supporting team player, still not getting what I want out of this, which is sad because it was a very touching story with her and Aurora. And is it Aurora? Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's what kind of bugs me, is that I don't feel like they're going to continue on in Storybrooke, particularly a character they had developed so much earlier on. Like, just to, you know, it's like, you know, in, out, done. They're not, you know, I don't feel like it's, you know, the back to the same thing that we've been saying. How did this advance the storyline? How did this get us anywhere? How did this make a difference? It just, I don't know. It just feels like we're churning around in nothingness.
Yeah, and I mean, it did ultimately get Snow out of there, which was an interesting development. But I agree that I think that there were other ways we could have accomplished that without bringing these characters back. But also, there's that whole thing with just trying to incorporate Oz so heavily because we have this Zelina storyline that's going on right now. Do you guys like feel that they're trying to push Oz a little too much? Because I'm getting that feeling a lot.
I like the Dorothy element. I did like Dorothy as a character. I like that part, but I don't think they know where they're going. And or if they do, it's coming across like a muddled mess. Yeah, I mean, you're not getting a solid enough of what was the Wicked Witch, what was with Dorothy, how did this all tie together? Yeah, there's a lot more they could have done with this. I don't think they know what to do with Zelina, who basically comes across like a sociopath, and trying to now make this sociopath redeemable is, I think they've kind of dug themselves into a hole. So they just sort of start creating these Oz references, you know, hoping we won't notice. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's my biggest problem with the Oz plug, is not so much that I don't appreciate it, but I feel like I would appreciate it more if I felt it made sense for where the story as a whole was going. But I think we're just trying to like show an eviler side of Zelina, have a loophole for getting the slippers to be used as the portal that she used to get to the baby. Like, there's too many free, like, flying elements that are very, very, very loosely connected. And I don't think that there's going to be one thread that's going to pull the whole narrative together at this point, just because it's so late in the season. So everything feels just like a placeholder for nothing. And that's sort of driving me a little bit crazy. Though I did appreciate the little bit where Red was talking about the movie, because I always forget that like these people are living in the real world at times and they can see the movies. And whenever they bring up like references, like with Hook, like in the curly hair and stuff like that, and then talking about well, I thought there'd be more singing here, like,
right,
just stuff like, I really liked all of that.
Yeah, that was funny. I actually did like that. There's a lot of singing in there. Like, I was waiting for her to start referencing, like, Munchkins or something.
Yeah, it was cute.
But at the same time, she didn't seem, like, as aware as she was of the movie, there seemed to be other moments, like, she was unaware. Like, the whole Poppy thing about don't inhale or you'll fall asleep. I was like, so did she fall asleep during that portion of the movie? you know, it was like she was sort of selectively aware of what the Wizard of Oz was.
There is one major reference to the Wizard of Oz that drove me a little crazy, and it is Aunt Em. I don't know how you guys felt about incorporating her into the story, but I kind of felt that she wouldn't have belonged in the underworld, because we haven't up until this point seen just any, like, civilian type who have lived in just, like, the normal real world.
Yeah.
The only thing I thought of was that Kansas and its connection to Oz would have been another realm, like how London was for Cruella. But I'm not sure, like, do you have to be that iconic in order to make it? Like, or would Aunt Em in any other circumstance, like, if they left Storybrooke, Maine, could they have driven at one point to Kansas and found Aunt Em? You know what I mean? It's just, that kind of drove me crazy.
Figure out what she was doing down there to begin with. Like, was I just completely asleep at the switch? Like, I thought the idea of if you ended up in the underworld is because you had some sort of unfinished business, and if you managed to get over that unfinished business, then you can move on. So what in the heck was Aunt Em's unfinished business that landed her in the underworld? And then somehow Hades, because there was water in the soup, which came from the, like, she gets sucked into the river. I was like, how does this happen? Like, I was just completely befuddled on that aspect of Aunt Em.
Yeah, there's a
lot. You know, never mind Uncle Henry. And if we're to believe the words of Dorothy, everyone else in her family, which would be Uncle Henry, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, was mean and rotten and obnoxious. And apparently they're just fine because they're not in the underworld. But the one woman who was kind to her is in the underworld, and then she gets tossed in the river of souls. I was like, man, this is a positive, uplifting message today.
Yeah, I feel like she was there because she might have had, because Dorothy was, you know, Dorothy was her unfinished business, sort of like how she wasn't able to make sure that she was okay and that no one tried to commit her after she died. Maybe something like, I kind of wrote that part of the story off. I was mainly questioning, like, why she could or how she was a prominent member of the underworld just in general. And how she, like, owned her own diner.
Yes, it was, it was just, like I said, that muddled mess thing happening again.
Karen, how are you feeling about the incorporation of Aunt Em and even just how they were going to use her true love's kiss bottled to wake up Dorothy?
I'm not even kidding you. This is the thought that went through my head. I'm so glad Hades killed her before she actually had to do that, because it would have been so awkward to watch her blow a kiss into this bottle. I realize that the rules of magic in Once Upon a Time can get a little corny and can get a little ridiculous, but we're reaching a level now where I can't ignore it anymore. And I just want them to go back to simple, like, hand movements for the magic and potions, things that make sense in my head. I was sad that she died, though. It was really tragic and surprisingly disgusting. Like, just, whoop, she's, you know, water. He scoops her up into a mason jar. Well, he mops her up, then squeezes it into the mason jar.
Right.
And I'm like, that is a person in there. That is really gross.
And also, like, not for nothing, it took Hades this many episodes to threaten people in the underworld? Like, surely, after Hercules and Meg escaped, would he not have come down with the, anybody else gets any ideas about helping these guys out? Like, it took him long enough to make an example out of one of the citizens in the underworld.
Yeah, and I feel like he has he's another one of those characters, like Karen was saying, with a lot of convenient magic. Like, it's just, mm-hmm. like, there's no, There's no threat. It's like anyone at any time will have whatever they need, except the people who are trying to escape. So the villains are clearly dominant in this area because whenever they need to stop something, they conveniently can. There's no like, we need to find X, Y, and Z in order to stop them. It's just like, no, I can make that happen. I could have made that happen all along. And it's very frustrating.
It's like when you make a villain all powerful, you kind of stop being afraid of them because the stakes, like there aren't even any stakes. You just assume, oh, you know, Hades is going to find a way to stop them in this instance because he has every other step of the way. I mean, he is the lord of the underworld. He can do anything. There don't seem to be any rules. If there were rules that he had to also abide, then we could cheer for the heroes more, if that makes sense, because you're like, okay, if you can figure this out, then you can stop him, but there's nothing to figure out yet. It's just, I don't even know where this is going anymore.
Well, this is, I think that's a good point too, Karen, in that you're starting to question why doesn't Hades just leave? I mean, or he certainly does seem to be able to leave the underworld. Why doesn't he get out of there? Like, what is, you know, we're left to wonder, what's his interaction with Zeus? How does that work? Yeah, you just don't understand why he's, you know, I mean, you sort of get a glimpse from the Disney movie, but it's so far gone from that. It's so hard to understand who he is and what are his right now, his ultimate goal seems to be to have Selena return his stalkerish, obsessive, what he's claiming is love, and just sounds like fetish obsession to me that makes my skin crawl. But you don't understand, like, how he functions and what he does beyond that. Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, his job in no way is being threatened. Like, losing souls doesn't have... there's no consequence to that. Like, yes, his, like, terrain is going to, like, maybe grow a flower or two. But once these people are gone and they return to the real world, I feel like, yeah, they're probably going to work against giving him more souls. But that hasn't been an issue all of these years. Like, if it was clear, if them stopping people from dying was a huge issue, I feel like he would have come above ground plenty of times before that to try and do something. But we're just not getting that. And that this is an instance where instead of having him appear in Zelina's past, just Zelina's past, like, he could have been incorporated into so many more flashbacks, and it would have been more believable. Not that I like that storyline, but it just would have made this season just make a little bit more sense. And that's all I'm asking for at this point now, is just a little bit more sense. Not even, like, perfect continuity and brilliance, just a little bit more sense.
Yeah. And we'll probably never see Zeus, because Once Upon a Time doesn't like me to have nice things.
But we will see Mulan and Red tracking a pack into Oz, because somehow they can also do that now, too. I'm so glad that storyline kind of fell off. Like, they were just like, yeah, we're totally still trying to find Ruby's pack, but we somehow ended up in Oz and now we have a new mission. Like, all right. Say it. Everyone forgot what you were doing anyway, because you haven't been on the screen since November of last year. So.
Yeah, seriously.
I actually had to look it up when I was making these show notes, because my review last night focused on so many other things that I was like, wait, why were they in Oz to begin with? And I had to go back and, like, read another breakdown of the episode to be like, oh, that's why they were in Oz. Like, it didn't even stick with me last night watching it, how they were traveling and what they were doing. And so clearly they've been on the move since Brave. So for a little while, but that whole time period was only like 5 weeks. So it still has not been that long in the grand scheme of things so far. It's so unclear that the title card says Oz some time ago. Like, they don't even know what to put on their title cards, because they're like, if we say a couple weeks ago, some people will be fine with it. But if we say some time ago, it buys us a couple of months, you know, like, I saw that and I just laughed. Like, there are some things now where instead of being like, I wonder where that could fall, I just laugh because I've given up a little bit on accepting. I'm just nodding my head now, nodding and smiling as the show's going on instead of trying to piece together a greater story, which is sad, but oh well, that's where we're at. So what else do we got going on in Oz? Basically, just Zelina wanted the slippers to go get her baby. Then she...
the baby for which, I mean, that's, I guess, my thing too. The baby for which she has just shown this obsessive, you know, the baby that she impersonated somebody's wife, killed her off, had with a guy who she tricked into having sex with her to have the baby. And she wants the baby because, you know, she keeps saying she's going to be this good mother and this baby will love me. And it's just like, she's not proven that she has on any capacity the ability to appreciate a child for what the child is. I just keep getting squicked out with the thought of her having any control on this child. Like, I almost feel like she's this like addict who like had their child taken away from them by child protective services, and that she's got to, you know, earn this child back. And she just hasn't done anything to show that she would be a fit mother on any level whatsoever. It's almost like, I mean, Gold is kind of the same way too. It's like, what on any level would lead us to believe that you would be a fit parent? You know, it's bizarre.
Love being reminded of how Zelina got the baby in the first place, because it just makes me want to cry with how bad it is. Like, not even bad in like a, oh, we made this up and it's just a bad idea type of way, just in a how monstrous of a human being type of way it is. Like, it is, because as soon as you start to feel something for Zelina, she's trying to come around, she's trying to make this good life. Yes, she now finally saw the ramifications of using her magic around the baby. Like, you know, it's not all about power. There has to be some sacrifice there. Yada, yada, yada. Like, you know, you're getting that, and you're just, and you start to feel something for Zelina. I think it's a healthy thing to remind everybody how we got here in the first place, because I feel that happens with a lot of the bad characters on the show, like including Regina and Hook, but they constantly remind themselves of their pasts, whereas right. Zelina and Cruella and who else am I forgetting? Rumple.
Yeah, they can't get past.
Can't even remember Rumple.
Like Rumple.
Can never remember Rumple, guys.
Well, they, yeah,
maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, they can't get past, like, me, 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 me. It's all about me. It's what I want. It's what I need. Everyone's against me. It's like, what? Are you kidding? You know, it's versus Regina coming to see a larger existence outside herself. You know, there's it just doesn't make any, you know, it doesn't make any kind of it, like the healthy choices are gone. Plus, there's this creepy, like parasitic relationship between Zelina and Hades. Like, I don't even understand why she just doesn't say, hey, Hades, there's the door. I mean, he is just, I mean, even after he says, you know, I've killed these people for you, I got rid of Aunt Em because of what Dorothy was to you. I'm like, okay, this is where you stand up and tell him that was wrong. This is where you stand up and said, oh my gosh, why would you do this? This is a point where you show some sort of moral indignation for an innocent woman having been killed and nothing. And I'm supposed to have sympathy for her to want to reunite her with her child? Are you kidding? Yeah, it's very, like, I'm just so confused as to what kind of message they're trying to send.
Yeah, I'm completely, I agree 100%. And I wish I had thought about that when I was writing my article about how a lot of people responded negatively to the LGBT relationship and how it was ruining a family show. But, you know, you could watch this woman pretend to be someone else and seduce a man and have a baby with him while then tricking his 4-year-old son into believing that his mother was alive again. And then she's actually dead.
Right. So. And then she has a creepy stalker who's in love with her for no other reason than she does evil. And that's what he bases their relationship on. And, you know, and just like poof, instantaneously in love with her with no build up to that. And it's like,
Laura, they rode a bike together. They rode a bike together.
Rode a bike together.
Guys,
yes.
Guys, remove the fairy tale elements from this show, and it could be one of the best thrillers on television.
Oh, my God. It's like the hand that rocks the cradle on crack. It's just so horrible.
I feel like Chris Hansen is, like, hiding somewhere, and he's ready to do, like, a 2020 sting operation at the end of Once Upon a Time. He's just going to, like, pull back a curtain from Granny's Diner and be like, you're all under arrest.
Right. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because I've, like, lost track here now. Like, at the end, there were the original names that were on the tombstones, right? And those were the people who could not – the underworld, sorry. Too many places. So, initially, the names on the tombstones were Mary Margaret's, it was Emma's, and who else? Because there are three names on the tombstone. And Regina. So, the reason that Belle – didn't just hop up and leave, or they didn't think to, you know, somebody throw Belle over their shoulder like a sack of grain and get her the heck out of there. Like, why was, like, I'm just, you know, she's living in mortal terror of, oh my God, Hades could claim my child, which I still don't understand how that's even possible, really. But, like, why didn't she just get out of there too? Like, it just doesn't.
I don't think anyone knows. I think after she had confronted Rumpel, I don't recall her going back to the group.
Right.
Ever.
So I'm just confused as to why she's even still there with her child clearly in what she thinks is mortal peril, and that Hades could then take this child at any time. So I'm sitting there going, okay, so now he's going to advance the pregnancy on the Sound of Sleep bell.
Yeah.
I was like, how does that in falling asleep fix this? I'm not really sure.
So, yeah, that's a – this was an interesting development. So Belle went to – basically there's this contract that Rumpel has – I mean, not Rumpel. Hades has claimed to Rumpel's second-born child, which he thought would never happen, and it's a binding contract, and – like, it cannot be broken because that's how magic works, and in this instance. And so Belle needs to figure out a way to save herself and her child, and that's all she's really thinking about. Until she stops thinking about it and is like, well, let me go talk to Zelina and see what should happen. And Zelina's like, well, someone put a curse on me, and then my pregnancy advanced really quickly, and I had the baby, and... so she doesn't really remember what it was like to be pregnant, and then someone had claim on her child. So Belle feels this kinship with Zelina, but the circumstances are so different. And I think Belle, in that conversation, recognized the danger of, like we said, Hades is this all-powerful being. Like, how, what's to stop him from using that same magic on her to advance the pregnancy and get the baby sooner and, you know, just rush the plot line. And since Once Upon a Time has also been rehashing plot lines frequently this season, Belle noticed that and was like, oh, this is definitely going to happen to me. So I'm going to put myself under a sleeping curse. That way he can't do anything. But Hades could probably break a sleeping curse without True Love's Kiss. I just feel like he could do that.
Yeah, it just... Yeah, he would come up with something else. I agree. There's, you know, again, it comes down to there's no immediate peril. There's no immediate, like, you know, they're just kind of cruising their way around in the underworld.
And it's not, and even if they did advance the pregnancy and she was close to giving birth and then she came upon this sleeping spell, but it actually wouldn't have affected the growth, like her pregnancy. Like, I feel she is giving Rumpel so much agency in this, and he should not have any. Like, she's trusting him to fix. She's basically like, I'm going to sleep, fix this, then find my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, because you can't fix, like, you know, bringing me out of this spell once I put myself under, so I'm just trusting you to fix all of our other problems, which I feel like she should not trust him to do anything ever again. I would go straight to the group and be like, this is what's going on. I'm going, like, at least have them as a fallback. They don't even know that she's passed out somewhere, taken like a snooze. It's just, it's incredible. I don't know where this character is going.
I don't think the writers do either.
I mean, she's going to bed. But
yes. Yeah. I don't know. I actually, like, I completely agree with 100% of the things that you just said. At the same time, I kind of liked this development because Belle stood up to Rumpel. And first of all, Rumpel was super gross again because he was like, this is what you fell in love with. This is what you're getting. I'm not going to change. We already discussed this. You need to be okay with it. And even Belle's response of like, you know, I knew who you were and I fell in love with that. And it's just, this relationship is so, so gross at this point. And I really don't like it. But she did stand up to him and she did say, true love's kiss from you isn't going to work on me. You need to find my father. And I thought, like, good. You know, she's growing a backbone, finally. She's standing up to him. She told him that she realizes the nature of the situation. And she is providing, you know, she has a backup plan because she knows Rumpel isn't going to be able to do it. And that, at least, was a relief that Belle is finally, hopefully, realizing who Rumpel is and that she is a million times better than he is and that she deserves so much more.
Mm-hmm. I'm very frustrated, and I almost, like, it's just, every time they're on screen, I almost want to turn it off because I'm not looking, I don't want to see it anymore. It's very frustrating to me, and I just don't understand what...
Well, how do they expect us to have any sympathy for him? Honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Do they think that we're going to continue caring about him when he's being so awful?
And it kind of makes me think, because Belle is showing so much independence and has admitted already that, you know, she knows that Rumpel is not her true love because he won't be able to break the curse, so she has little confidence that that could happen, is that Robert Carlyle is just not coming back next season and we don't know about it yet. There are so many, like, major deaths looming over May sweeps that right. I feel like Rumpel could be one to go and no one would bat an eye.
It would. Yeah, that's actually a great statement. Like, it just, you know, I think I said at the last podcast that we did, I feel like we're fumbling around in season four of Lost, where they very much got lost and lost. It was like, where are all these threads? And, you know, characters weren't coming together. It was just a big muddled mess. And I feel like we're the same way here on Once Upon a Time. They've got to pull it together and get some more direction before we end the season with yet another smoke monster and be like, what's, you know, what Disney story are they going to, you know, come in with the merchandising for the first half of next year? I mean, that's kind of the level at which it's down to. Like, I'm wondering, okay, which is the Disney movie they haven't ticked off yet?
It's going to be Finding Nemo to help promote Finding Dory out in theaters this summer.
Oh my god, then everyone could turn into a fish.
There we go. It's the underwater. It's Once Upon a Time goes underwater.
Oh, that would be great.
And then Snow and Charming could say, I will always find you again.
Oh, that would actually be adorable. I'm just picturing them as fish, though.
I know, as like, as Nemo and yeah. his father. Like, I will always find, yeah, no, adorable. Anyway.
But Snow, speaking of Snow, she's back in Storybrooke. She made it somehow because Henry wrote that it was true. He just, like, comes downstairs. First of all, I went on Tumblr today and I saw a screenshot of Henry actually writing. And he was writing the Dorothy and Red scene and someone had paused it and took a picture of what was written. It's genius, you guys. It's like, they passionately kissed and they enjoyed it. And it was like, Henry is upstairs writing fan fiction and then also getting messages from the beyond that say, like, and by the way, my grandma's totally fine.
But, and yet still, poor Henry can't have a more mature plot line for himself.
All he did was walk downstairs and go, here are my latest pages. Enjoy.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, it's
he is a fanfic writer. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened on
yeah.
the show.
I don't need Henry to get laid. I just need him to have a plot line that's more advanced than that of a 10-year-old. That's all.
Serious question, though, mm-hmm. and this could definitely just be me, but did anyone else get mad that Snow was the one that got sent to Storybrooke?
I was, but then I also thought about maybe she and Belle both really needed to be on maternity leave. And so it made a little bit like the actresses did, and it made a little bit more sense in my head.
And I was actually okay with David saying, I did kind of like David making like a sacrifice and a choice and a your son. I liked him, you know, and saying, I will always find you. And she seems to be the one missing baby Neil more than he is anyway. I mean, that was just so funny too. David, he hasn't heard our voice. Like out of nowhere, she's suddenly like longing for her child. Cause I guess it's been a while since she's been at the phone booth, you know?
And I think she's also realizing like, we're never getting out of here.
I guess it bugged me because he took that choice out of her hands and he just decided it for her. And maybe she was grateful. Maybe that was something that they had discussed and he knew how much it would mean to her. But it felt to me more like he was sending her home with the kids so that he could go off to battle. When I'm like, David, you do realize Snow is way more badass than you are, right? Like, she's probably better with a sword and a bow than you are. And it was frustrating, and I get the whole maternity leave thing, and that probably was the reason, but
I think that's a great point, and it kind of shows where my mind is watching the show in a sense, because I'm looking at it like, oh, they're writing her off because she needs to go on maternity leave, as opposed to like getting angry. Like, you kind of are frustrated with this storyline, and I think that's well deserved, because you're right. Snow makes a lot more sense in the underworld, and there should have been a little bit more fallout from that decision, even from the group. Like, I think that they should have, if they all took a vote, they would have gotten rid of David. Let's be real. Like, if they had a tribal council, David would have went home. I'm looking at this as just, oh, like they're sending her off because of maternity leave instead of like questioning that decision. And I maybe it's just because I don't care anymore with whatever decision they make. But I, now that you mention it, I do agree. I think that there should have been a little bit more discussion, and Snow probably should have stayed because she can track, she can shoot, can do all sorts of things.
Or they could make the mutual decision of, you have this opportunity, maybe it's better for you to go, since we now know we have a choice as to, because Hook can rewrite the names on the tombstones, apparently, so...
I did like the, like, childish Hook-scratched handwriting. Like, I wish we had a scene of him chiseling.
That would have been so funny.
What could have been? Maybe in the outtakes. Yeah, that's pretty much it, actually, for everything that kind of happened this week.
How many more episodes do we have until the season wraps?
Four. So we have, four more episodes.
They just need to make it less awful for the remainder of the season.
And normally the last episodes are like a big deal. You know, the finales are, a lot happens. They're almost like mini movies. I was going back and thinking about them earlier today when I actually had to look up how many episodes were left. And they are like, they feel so separate. Like, we had that episode where Emma and Hook like time traveled and then it resolved everything that was kind of going on. And, you know, you have that first hour of something and the second hour. So I don't know if the finale is 2 hours. I think it might be. I kind of hope it's not, just because I'm traveling all day that day. Selfishly hoping it's not 2 hours because I'm driving 8 hours that morning. We'll have some resolution. I can't imagine that it's going to be satisfying at this point. Maybe satisfying because we're finally going on break and we have a little bit of time away from the series. Unfortunately.
How are they going to make... I don't even know how to phrase this question because I don't think they're going to be able to do it. I want Hades to be an amazing character. I want this underworld storyline to be incredible. And it's not. If they have 4 episodes to wrap this up, what can they do to make it feel like, maybe upon rewatch, if we ever do go and rewatch it, what can make it feel like this was all worth it? I don't know if there is anything. They had Hades, who is a Greek god, as the main villain for this part of the season, and they couldn't even make that stick. That should be something that they dive deep into with Greek mythology and have all these elements that are like, oh my gosh, these things exist in the same world. How cool is that? And it's not. They've barely scratched the surface. And they had one episode with Hercules and Meg. Like, it feels pointless right now. And I don't know what they can do to kind of redeem themselves by the end.
Yeah, and I was thinking about Neverland a few days ago because I was talking to someone about Once Upon a Time and something to do with Hook, and we got into talking about Neverland, and at the time, I did not like Neverland at all. I was like, I don't like this. I don't like the Peter Pan storyline. I was not into it watching it live, but thinking back, I was like, actually, Neverland was not that bad. Like, it had a lot going on. We had Neil and we had Pan, and I kind of appreciated that season more in hindsight. Whereas this season, this half of the season, I don't think I'll appreciate in hindsight. Like, I think it's always going to be, yeah, that happened. Mm-hmm. We never have to talk about it again.
And I don't think it's that they're winding down the season. I mean, the series. I mean, they've just signed a thing where they're doing creation conventions. Clearly, they're like, yeah, full steam ahead. The show has been renewed for next season. Like, they are not thinking about, oh, it's time to wind this sucker down. Like, I'm going to be curious to see what the ratings look like going forward next year and see what happens. Also, what I'm really living in terror of is ratings have been dipping for this. I'm hoping that they don't make the blame on the ratings. The addition of the Red and Dorothy storyline. I mean, I think there are a lot more people that I know of that have been getting more and more disenchanted with the seasons for the reasons that we're talking about than any kind of same-sex relationship.
Yeah, and I don't think we'll see a noticeable dip, only because Once Upon a Time is still one of the highest rated shows on Sunday night, which, I mean, I was reading the ratings today, and some shows that are on, I don't know how they're still on, like Elementary. Like, Elementary got a 0.7 last night, guys. A 0.7 in key demographics. Whew. Thank God it's renewed already because, man, nervous. But then again, a 1.1 is the highest that we're dealing with in comparison. And I'm sorry for anyone who really doesn't care about this who's listening to the show. But yeah, it's really frustrating to see this show dip considerably, even from the first half of the season. It's been pretty steady. But I'm nervous that people aren't going to come back because of how flatlined the storytelling has gotten. So I think people are sticking it out, but I don't know. I'd be curious to see a comparison for the end of this season and the premiere of next season.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a big tell.
My one hope here is that they see how fans are reacting to the season, look at what they did wrong and improve upon it. I mean, all series who have run over several seasons, especially ones that are going as long as this one, have their ups and downs. We all have our favorite seasons and our least favorite seasons of a series. And if this just happens to be one of the least favorite ones, fine. But as long as they learn from that, I feel like they got lazy in season 5, and maybe doing that will reinvigorate them to make season 6 even better. I mean, we can only hope, especially because we have committed ourselves to this podcast and clearly at one point greatly enjoyed the show. And I still like discussing it, but it's getting to the point where I'm feeling so apathetic toward everything that how am I going to care again? And I hope that they can do that with season 6 one way or another.
I would like to come on one week and not have my list of negatives outweigh my list of positives.
It's so exhausting.
Or feel like I'm struggling to highlight a positive when I don't feel it's warranted, but because I feel like I'm just coming on and complaining for 45 minutes, and that's not enjoyable for me, it's not enjoyable for listeners. It's getting a little difficult, but again, I still hold out hope just because of the history of the show, and we know what they can do with the series, and I think we just want to see more of it or have them find their spark again. And who knows, maybe it's going to be in Josh Dallas fighting himself next week. That could totally turn the whole show around.
Maybe.
God. I know.
I just put my face in my hand.
We do. There was one tweet this week that I read this morning after, like, writing some reactions and, you know, talking about the episode and had written the review and watched it and kind of talked with you guys a little bit in our chat. And it just, it was from at Andrea Potter, too. And she just tweeted, "And another soul saved. Whoop-dee-doo." And I just lost it. I was like, this, you know, it's just, it's that, like, that's exactly where we're at. It's just that there's no joy in saving a soul at this point. It's all right, we did it. We crossed it off the list for the week. Like, what's next? And not what's next in a good West Wing, what's next way. Just.
Yes, right. Right. Seriously.
Oh, boy, guys. Well, next week's episode is titled Sisters. I really wasn't into the whole Regina Zelina rehash that we were getting when this season started, but it's proving to be one of the stronger storylines, so I'm going to go with it and say, all right, bring it on. Ready for some sister battles, but also David and James are going to duke it out because Snow's not around to keep the peace, and she leaves for 1 second, and he's just a mess, fighting himself in the streets of the underworld.
Yes, and alternatively Robin, apparently, too, who also has been all but forgotten about practically in this
underworld. He's living
underworld.
In the woods protecting a baby.
Kristen couldn't remember where he was, and she asked me, and when I told her, we laughed for 5 minutes straight, because I'm like, that's not a joke. He's literally living in the woods under a tree, caring for this baby.
Yes, it's just, yes, it's just too.
How is he even doing that? Like,
I don't know.
And also, speaking of, like,
he pops
parents
over to the diner for baby food every so often.
Yes, like, and like parents who miss their kids, like Roland. Thank goodness for Regina, because she's like, by the way, Snow, when you're there, can you check on Robin's other kid that he's completely forgotten about? Like, he doesn't want to, he's not standing in line trying to call Roland.
No.
He's fine. He's lived fine. In the woods. Like, yeah. He knows how to take care of himself. He's 8, but it's cool.
Oh, boy. Hopefully answers to all this and more on next week's Once Upon a Time, Season 5, Episode 19, Sisters. We'll be back to talk about it, maybe with less sarcasm, maybe with more. You never know with this show.
We're not sure at this point. Oh, my gosh.
Maybe we'll have everybody back on next week. We'll see. We'll try to get the whole crew around. But until then, I'm Brittany.
I'm Karen.
And I'm Laura.
Talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Bye.